रघुपति राघव राजा राम पतित पावन सीताराम रघुपति राघव राजा राम पतित पावन सीताराम केशव माधव राजा राम पतित पावन सीताराम राम राम जय राजा राम राम जय सीताराम राम 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 मूकं करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिम् யத்கிருபாதமஹம் வந்தே பரமானந்த மாதவம். ஓம் ஸ்ரீ பரமாத்மனே நமஹ. The second chapter of Gita, Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna prayed for Shreyas, asked for Shreyas, he implied, he asked for, that he implied, he wanted knowledge of the truth. When you ask for the knowledge of the truth, what you ask for implies why you are asking it for. It's made very clear. Because knowledge itself is freedom. Though we think freedom from limitations, freedom from mortality, freedom from death, freedom from being a wanting person, freedom from a sense of being small, unhappiness and insignificant. Freedom from sorrow in general is the ultimate end, but still, freedom from limitations, in fact, is the form of knowledge of the truth. They are not two different things. Knowledge of the truth itself is freedom. Because in the wake of knowledge, you discover freedom. This is where he asks for Shreyas. Yat Shreyaha Syat Nischitam Tadu Me Bruhi. What is it which will make me Shreyas? Please tell me only that. Shadi, please protect me. Shadi Mom, please protect me. I send it to you. Mam Prapannam Shadi, he said, he asked for moksha in the form of jnanam. So the word Shreyas means moksha, the word Shreyas means knowledge of the truth, the absolute good. And he made very clear, because he was not a, he didn't have jnanam, because he was not a jnani, he knew he was confused and deluded. He was completely overwhelmed by sorrow, overwhelmed by compassion, overwhelmed by delusion. So he asked for jnanam. And as an answer, as a reply to his question, Krishna started from the 11th verse, the actual teaching of the Gita, the essence of the Shastram, Vedanta Shastram, is started from the 11th verse of the Bhagavad Gita, 11th verse of the second chapter. So it's very clear, Panditaha na anushochanti. People who are endowed with the knowledge of the truth do not grieve, do not become sorrowful. So whoever is sorrowful is definitely ignorant of the truth. Made it very, very clear. Panditaha na anushochanti. In order to become free from anushochanam, grief, in order to become free from sorrow, knowledge is the only means. He made it very clear. The very first verse. So Bhagavad Gita has its own way of, you know, making us understand the core vision of the entire Vedanta Shastram. It doesn't talk about anything else. It just tells, it expects us to understand the subtle facts, subtle realities of life. What we can change, what we cannot change. Understanding the facts. Why Bhagavad Gita emphasizes or emphatically presents the understanding of the facts. It's very important to accept the facts. Once you can accept the fact as a fact, then you are a mature person. Then you are free. Not to be free, whether it is relative freedom or absolute freedom, okay? Absolute freedom is in the ascertained vision of the reality being secondless. That's a different thing. But one has to be relatively free enough or relatively relaxed and serene in order to understand, retain, ascertain, assimilate the absolute truth of the reality being secondless, which is the actual absolute freedom. So he talks, he started from the second verse. Though all of us are gathered in the, we have gathered in this battlefield, you are here, I am here, all these kings are here on both sides, in the army of Dhritarashtra's, Dhritarashtra's sons, in the army of Pandava's, Pandu's sons, all these are, all of them, not that we were not before, or that we will not be in future, we were before, we are here now, the form what we are, and we will ever be, which is a subtle, profound teaching. That means the forms which we have, okay, the forms and names which you have gathered here, these forms with the name and form as Arjuna, as Krishna, as Duryodhana, as Dhrishtadyumna, all these people, we have beginning, we have end only with reference to the physical bodies. But from the standpoint of something else, really speaking, we had no birth. No end. So there was never a time we were not before. There will never be a time we will not be. So we were before, we are here now in these forms, and we will ever be. That means we need to know something more than the physical body about ourselves. So the next verse, Natvevaham Jatunasam Natvam Neme Janadhipaha Natcha Evana Bhavishyamaha Sarve Vayamatav Param. Then he says the second, the 12th verse. Then he goes on to the 13th verse and he says, that is, he introduces what is, in a simple way, what is beyond the gross physical body. So he first talks about the change. There he makes it very clear, we think the body is subject to get destroyed. But Krishna says, there is no such thing called absolute destruction. There is no such thing. Nothing gets destroyed for good. Okay? There is only change. Death is nothing but the change. When you say death is nothing but the change, that means the change can be looked upon as or understood as the relative destruction. When the wood is burnt, you see the ashes. Wood, does the wood exist or not? If you say wood does exist in the form of ashes, But what happened to the wood, form of the wood? Okay? The wood becoming ashes is said to be the death of the wood and birth of ashes. Oh, wood has been burned, no ashes, nothing. I say, no, it is disappeared. Then we can say it is absolute destruction. Really speaking, nothing in the world can be destroyed for good. That is why there is no such thing called absolute destruction. It's only relative destruction. Wood is burnt, set to fire. Okay, then it's burnt, then you see the ashes. Or you see the coal otherwise. What is it? This change. Relative destruction is only a change. And everything in this world, animate or inanimate, is subject to change. That is the nature of prakritikam jagate, prakritikam vastu, made of, you know, the product of prakriti. The very word prakriti, the matter, the prakriti means, people call it nature, prakriti, why it is prakarshena kriyate anaya iti prakritihi. That by which something is made is prakriti. Prakarshena kriyate anaya. The word prakriti is a feminine gender word. So prakritihi. See, the matter, I say, the whole jagat is nothing but the material product. Therefore, it is subject to change. Nothing can avoid, escape, change. Subject to change. There is constant change which is taking place in the part of everything animate and inanimate, over which we have no say at all. This is a fact. Subtle fact. Why called subtle fact? We can't see the change taking place through physical eyes. But we can only understand. When you use the word subtle, I mean it's imperceptible, but something to be understood, something which can be understood. Change. Therefore, this physical body also is subject to change. That is why from birth till the death, there's something called birth of the body. There's also we have a death of the body. In between janana maranabhyam madhye, again it undergoes changes. The many changes take place. We have no say over it. No powerless can help us do anything about it. Subject to change. This is the nature of the physical, gross physical body. And actually speaking, so beyond this physical body, subject to change, and there's one more fact about it. This subject to get disintegrated, because all the combination of five elementals, okay, it's an elemental product, because everything in this world is elemental product. Panchabhautikam. Panchabhyah bhutebhyah jatam panchabhautikam jagat. So everything, similarly, this physical body all is panchabhautikam. Many things put together here, I told you, and very intelligently put together. Our Swamiji used to, just to make it humorous, he used to say, thank God, nose is here, the nose has been kept here. And every time I had to see the color of the coffee, I had to see here, to have the flavor, I had to take the coffee cup back. Very difficult, it's been very difficult, isn't it? So he used to joke, like that. What I was saying, everything is intelligently put together. The function of all the organs and everything, system, the whole physical body. And it's nice, but it is subject to fall apart, subject to get disintegrated. Why? That is how it is. That is the nature of the prakritam, prakritikam. Nature of the prakriti. So, that. And when what do we know? What do we mean? What do you mean by the word death? Then he has to say something more about this. For there's something called sukshma dehaha, sukshma shariram, beyond this sthula shariram, the gross body. And the sukshma shariram has no form like this. Because the sukshma shariram happens to indwell this gross body, it is known by the term sukshma shariram and sukshma dehaha, or subtle body. When we use the word body, immediately we think of some form. Really speaking, it has no form. Subtle body has no form. We call it subtle body because the subtle indwells the gross. The body, the gross happens to be the body, the gross body. Subtle happens to indwell the gross body. We call the indweller as subtle body. Really speaking, subtle form, subtle body has no form. It's a formless. When I say subtle, it is imperceptible, so it cannot be seen or perceived through any of the senses as how it is. But it is something available for understanding. And the subtle body has some time limitation. Again, it is ordained how long the subtle body is ordained to stay in a given physical body. So, the subtle body leaves the gross body, departs from the gross body. The departure of the subtle from the gross is said to be the death of the physical body. Why? Because as long as the subtle indwells the gross is alive. The gross is active. But once the subtle body, subtle departs the gross, it becomes lifeless. It becomes dead, like a piece of wood. It's inert. Already it's inert. It becomes inanimate. Even while alive, it is inert. Okay, as a dead body, it is inanimate. So, what is the sukshma shariram? What is the subtle body? I told you, because we know it is again like how this gross body is known to us, like any other object is known to us. I can say that is a flower. That's a flower bunch. That's light, and that is something. Okay, this is a chair, and I can say this is the body. These are feet, these are shanks, these are thighs, this is my back, this is my front, this is my head, these are hands. And I can indicate every part of this body using what? Idam shabdena, edit shabdena, using the pronoun this. So Shastram, in a way, beautifully says anything indicated by the pronoun this or that cannot be mistaken for an object indicated by I. Idam shabdena suchyamanatvat. I can say this is a body. These are my thighs. These are my shanks. These are my feet. These are my toes. These are my fingers. These are my nails. This is my hand. This is my back. I can say this and these and that and those. When this, anything indicated by the idam shabda cannot be mistaken for the aham shabda artha. Aham shabda artha, meaning of the a substance of the substantive I. When you say this is, what's this? Finger.
Yeah.
Chocolate finger. When you say chocolate finger, definitely I would say I am chocolate finger. Or I know, but it's this. Similarly, anything indicated by this cannot be mistaken for I. Therefore, definitely it is as good an object as this, or anything which is indicated by the word this or that, the pronouns this and that. Therefore, this is the gross body. This is the gross body indicated by the pronoun this. So you are not this. Okay, this is not, okay? You are not this. And what is it which indwells the gross body, in the absence of which the gross body is considered or said to be dead? Not considered, it's really dead. What is that? That subtle body, sukshma dehaha. I told you last class, pancha jnanendriyani, pancha karmendriyani, pancha pranaha, okay, antahkaranam ekam, shodasha together, the 16, okay, 16 aspects together constitute the sukshma dehaha, sukshma shariram, the subtle body. I told you, we know, we can understand the subtle aspects being manifest, but we cannot perceive them. That's why they indicate by the word subtle. So I know my eyes can see, I know my ears can hear, I know my nose can smell, I know my tongue can taste, I know my skin feels the heat and cold. And I say this, the sense powers of the sense organs are very well known to me, known to you. Your sense powers are known to you. That's why any ophthalmologist is dependent on your, okay, what you say about, before he decides about your power of the eye. He cannot say, just by seeing your eyes, he cannot say what power you need to wear. He depends on you, he has to change and he has to ask you. You have to say whether you can see or not. That means you know your seeing power. You know your hearing power. You know whether you can hear or not. Therefore, all these powers are known to you. Like this, externally, how this is known to me, this body is known to me, therefore it is an object of knowledge. Similarly, your sense powers are known to you. You are different from the sense powers. Okay? You are different because your seeing power is known to you. Your hearing power is known to you. The power of your nose, the smelling, is known to you. The power of taste is known to you. Anything which is known to you is different from you. You are different from the known as a knower. Therefore, these sense powers are, you are not the sense powers, but you don't see the sense powers externally through your physical eyes, but still you can understand sense powers being manifest. You know they are. Similarly, you know the powers of your organs of action, the hands and legs and the organ of speech, the excretory organ, the reproductory organ. You know the powers of organs of action are known to you. Therefore, you are definitely, you are not the powers of organs of action. You are different from the powers of organs of action. Similarly, your physiological functions are all known to you. Your respiration is known to you. Your inhalation is known to you. Your exhalation is known to you. Your digestion is known to you, not in the sense you don't see, but still you know whether the food taken in is digested or not. If it is not, if you say, I don't know, how my digestion is good or not, that means something is wrong with the system. Okay, your hunger is known to you, your thirst is known to you, your digestion is known to you, the circulation is known to you. If it is, there's not proper circulation, and we can understand, find very difficult. You are now comfortable. You feel comfortable now because of the proper functioning of all these heart and lungs and things. The physiological functions are taking place properly. That is why you are comfortable now. Otherwise, we can't sit here comfortably. So the functions are known to you. Therefore, anything known to you is different from you, and you as the knower is different from the known. Therefore, you are not the physiological functions, you are not the sense powers, you are not the powers of organs of action. And similarly, the antahkarana, which is nothing but constituent of varieties of thoughts, thought modifications, vrittayaha, antahkarana vrittayaha, vrittihi is a singular word, vrittayaha, together constitute the antahkaranam. I told about how we can categorize the vrittis into four as manaha, mind, buddhihi, intellect, chittam, memory, and ahankaraha, ego. So all these, your manaha or mind is known, your intellect is known, your memory is known, ego also is known, ahankara is known. All the thoughts are known, the entire antahkarnam is known. And all these varieties of thoughts, okay, ignorance, dullness, fear, anxiety, agitation, restlessness, all these varieties, these thoughts together constitute what? Jealousy, hatred, all these thought modifications constitute the mind. Understanding, knowledge, perception, cognition. We will analyze the mind separately in detail, because now I have to finish Gita verses, okay? There's different topic we'll take. But these, you know, cheerfulness, these thought modifications constitute the intellect. You know, thoughts, which is not known now. Anger comes as manaha, mind. Desire is mind. In memory, anything which you can recollect of the past, recollection of the past is what? Memory. Where is it? It is in the form of thought. It is chittam. Chittam is a seat of memory. Okay, everything you had outside, you can recollect the any past incident and see, replay and see. This chittam memory is the thought again. So knowledge of what is intellect. It comes under the, it's a thought, knowledge of what is. Okay, there is a bunch of flowers. There is light. There is sound on the road. So these things, okay, this knowledge and perception, cognition, recognition, they're all thoughts, thought modifications come as intellect. But the knowledge that I am, the knowledge that I am is what? Ahankara, ego. The knowledge that I am, which no other being has in the world except the human being. The knowledge that I am. What is it now? The thought that the knowledge that I am also is as good a thought as the knowledge that the world is. The world exists. Anne is sitting to my right. Phyllis is sitting to my left. It's as large as this. The knowledge that I am is what? It's a thought modification. It's also thought. Understand? And which thought is not known? Your anger is known. Your ignorance is known. Ignorance being not known is known. Your knowledge is known. Your memory is known. The knowledge that you are is known. Isn't it? So all these thoughts are known. In waking state, the knowledge that I am is there. In deep sleep state, the knowledge that I am is not there. Therefore, no other thought is there. No knowledge is there. No experience is there. nothing is there. The mind is totally passive, completely passive. That is known. Okay? Therefore, the knowledge that I am being there in waking state is known. The knowledge that I am being not there in deep sleep state also is known when you wake up from sleep. Understand? Therefore, which thought is not an object of knowledge? Which thought modification is not an object of knowledge? All the thought modifications, different states of mind, the waking state, the dream state, the deep sleep state, all these three states of mind, okay, all these varieties of thought modifications, everything is an object of knowledge, everything is known. Therefore, you are different from the known antahkaranam. Okay. So you are not the mind. You are not the mind. So these 16 factors together constitute the Sukshma Shariram. And Krishna says, this Sthula Shariram is intelligently put together, which is subject to fall apart. Okay? Once the Sukshma Shariram departs this Sthula Shariram, the Sthula Shariram is said to be dead. Then if it is cremated or buried or just even thrown, slowly it will get disintegrated. Okay? I talked about the Panchatva Prapti last week. The corresponding, the five elements of the body join the corresponding elements. That's all. That nobody can change. It's a fact. Okay? About the gross body. We have no say over it. We can't say, no, you stay for some more time. Let the Sukshma Shariram stay in this gross body for some more time. That's what people try when people are put in the ventilation, you see. The ventilation, there's something called ventilation, you know that? In the hospitals, people try that. They prolong the life. It's like on vegetable, it'll be there. Pluck, gone. That's all. Really speaking, nobody can stop. That is preordained. He has time limitation. Does depart. So the without the sukshma, the sthula is dead. It becomes inactive. It is inanimate. But without the sthula, the sukshma can never come in contact with the external world. Okay, for the external world to be objectified, to be known, to be understood, to be enjoyed, to be experienced, okay, then the sukshma has to indwell the sthula. Understand? Huh? Life is possible. Interaction is possible. That is called bhoga ayatanam. This physical body is said to be bhoga ayatanam, an abode of enjoyment. It's like how we have to come inside and to sit here to enjoy. Understand? Similarly, the sukshma, without the sthula, cannot have. Without the bhoga ayatanam, no bhoga is possible for the sukshma. But what happened? What now we know about the sthula? But you know what is the nature of the sukshma? You have to know the truth, subtle fact about the sukshma. Oh, sukshma, you know, is not subject to destruction at all. The sthula is subject to relative destruction, which is called change. There is no such thing called absolute destruction. But the sukshma does not have even relative destruction. It's not subject to any destruction at all. it cannot be destroyed at all. Okay, the personality, subtle personality, is not subject to change and subject to death. Okay, the thoughts change. The thoughts keep changing, but still, the mind as a whole is not, okay, destructible. Mind is not destructible. The sense powers are not destructible. Powers of organs of action are not destructible. Understand? They can be destroyed. No, they can be changed. Understand? That's something nice to know about the subtle body. But once the subtle body leaves, it's dead. It's a fact about the subtle body, it's a fact about the gross body. Then he said, Dehinaha, Asmin Dehi, one who indwells the Dehaha is Dehi. Dehinaha, for this Dehi, the Sukshma, Asmin Dehi Yatha, Kaumaram, Yavanam, Jara, just as all these different stages are there, possible. It goes through all the different stages of the physical body. Similarly, it is as simple as going through the stages of the physical body. What? Taking another body, assuming another body. Dehantara praptihi tatha. This is unchangeable truth and fact about the subtle body and its gross body. So dhiraha natra na mukheti. The wise person does not get deluded about it. Once you understand as a fact, then you can accept the fact. No intelligent man can deny the fact. That's why dhiraha na muhyati. One who is not a dhiraha, muhyati. If you are not a dhiraha, you can't help getting deluded and confused. So, in order to be happy, in order to free yourself from grief and different degrees of sadness, the only way is, You should become free from the very delusion, mohaha. Mohaha is not, muhyati is the verb. You know, mohaha, delusion. You're free from moha, delusion, you're free from sorrow. You're free from all the problems. Without becoming free from delusion, there's no way of becoming free from sorrow and problems. So, in order to become free, so dhairyam, dhirasya bhavaha, dhairyam. We talk about the word dhairyam, you must have heard about it, haven't you? Dhairyam means courage. The courageous is dhiraha. Who is courageous? One does not fear. Does not get scared. One who can be frightened is dhiraha. Why? I know the fact. I accept the fact. What is that? To get afraid. No, to get scared. To be frightened. Dhiraha. Na bohi muhyati. There's no moha for the dhiraha. So, you have to become a dhiraha. Understand? Now you're bhitaha. You're not dhiraha. You had become dhiraha, not to be free from moha, thereby not to become free from dukkham, sorrow. So, okay, it's interesting to know, okay, what happens to the subtle body then? So he says, okay, what are you worrying about now? Are you worried about the death of the physical body? Are you worried about the nature of the subtle body? We don't know. There's something called subtle body. Now we know. No, what is the nature of it? It cannot be destroyed. But in between, he has to say something about, again, another fact about the enjoyment, the experience we have. Subtle body indwells the gross body. They can come in contact with the external world. once you, the intel in the subtle body comes in contact with the external world, then dvandvas are inevitable. You know, the pairs of opposites. The next verse he says,
bahya sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukha dukha daha agama pahino nityaha tam stitikshasva bharata.
Hey Bharata, Krishna is very clear, very clever, and he addresses Arjuna as Bharata. You know who was you, who was supposed to be? Bharata means Bharupa Brahmani Ramate Rataha Yaha Saha Bharataha. Bha means light. Light. Light stands for effulgence. Effulgence means knowledge. Okay? So knowledge, that which is of the nature of knowledge, is reality. Param Brahma Vastu, the consciousness. And Rataha, one who revels. Ratha is the participle of the Rama, okay? Ram Dhatu, from that it has come from Rataha. Ramaha, Rataha. It's a participle. So Rataha, one who revels, or one who has reveled, one who is reveling, you can say. Bharupa Brahmani Ramate, the Bharataha. One who revels in the knowledge of the oneness of reality is Bharata. One who has the luxury of reveling in the knowledge of the oneness of reality is Bharata. So luxury, sukham, real luxury is in knowing the secondless thing being not there. Relatively, we should see the plurality, variety, there should be something, all kasmasa we should have. But objectively, be very clear, there is no second vastu, absolutely. This knowledge has to get ascertained. We should see the waves, we should see the ocean, we should be seeing, we should have the roaring, everything. But it should be very clear in the mind, all these are happening only in one substance called water. Like that, absolutely, there is only one vastu. The second thing, other than that, that is luxury. That having that ascertained knowledge of that oneness of reality is what? Real luxury is there. So one who has the luxury of reveling in the knowledge of the oneness of reality is who? Bharupa Brahmani Ramate Yaha Saha Bharataha. So Krishna calls, you know, Bharata. But now you are not Bharata. No, you are not Bhar, but still, it's a nice way of addressing. There's never a time, even if you are a dull-witted person, you are a dull person, we never say, no, you are going to become intelligent. When you say, you are not intelligent now, but you can become intelligent, you are dull, we never say that. Shastram never says that. Never says anything negative about you. Because it has to make you see the truth about yourself, which is not real, what you are thinking of now, not. But it has to slowly work on you. Instead, so Krishna says, Bharata. Bahya sparshastu kaunteya, you know. Bahya sparshastu kaunteya, shitoshna sukha dukha daha. This is bahya sparshaha. Bahya means external. Bahihi vartamanatva. Bahihi yad asti. That which is outside is what? Bahya. Bahihi means it's an indeclinable term. Bahihi. It can be declined into anything. Okay? Bahihi means outside. Yes, sir. And bahya is external. Bahya. Sparshaha is what? Sparshaha means touch. And touch. Contactable. Okay? Bahya sparshaha means what? Anything which can be contacted externally is what bahya sparshaha. So external object of perception, objects of knowledge, what anything which can be seen, which can be known, which can be smelled, which can be tasted, which can be heard is all what shabda, shabda, rupa, rasa, gandha. The smell, the flavor, the sting, the color, the form, you know, the sound, the taste, it can called not bahispashaha, not external, no externally contacted objects. Bahisparshaha. So when the subtle body, okay, subtle body is what? The mind, especially here, comes in contact, the mind is actually, the mind comes in contact with the external objects. Bahisparshaha. Through what? Through the senses. Through the eyes, through the ears, through the nose, through the tongue, through the skin. Definitely they give rise to what? The experience of pairs of opposites. Dvandvaha. No, I want the mind to come in contact with the external objects, but I don't want dvandvas. Don't be childish. Okay, you've got to be immature. It's a fact. You have to understand the fact and accept the fact. Be mature. What's that? The mind, you cannot stop the mind coming in contact with the external objects through senses in the waking state. Once the mind comes in contact with the external things through the senses, then definitely they give rise to the experience of dvandvas, pairs of opposites. Shita, Ushna, Sukha, Dukha, Daha. No? Daha means no, Dadati the Daha. That which gives Daha, Dadati. We say, chocolate Da, Swamini, chocolate Da, Swamini. One who gives chocolate Dadati, iti chocolate Da. If Peterji gives chocolate Daha, if he gives chocolate Daha, understand, masculine Daha, and feminine da. Anyway, pustaka daha, pustaka da. Like shita, ushna, sukha, dukkha, daha. Why? Because bahis prashaha. This is a plural word, okay? Shita, ushna, sukha, dukkha, daha. They'll definitely give rise to the pairs of opposites such as shita, cold, okay? Ushna, cold and heat, pain and pleasure, success and failure, defeat and victory, honor and dishonor. We can go on list, give a list of pairs of opposites. Right? That is the nature. That is how we can't say about only one of the pairs. You can't say that. Either, and there'll be both. There'll be cold, there'll be heat. There'll be pain, there'll be pleasure. Pain, there'll be pleasure. There'll be pleasure, there'll be pain. There'll be success, there'll be failure. There'll be defeat, there'll be victory. There'll be honor, there'll be dishonor. These are the dvandvaha. Bahisparshaha. Shita Ushna Sukhadi. Dvandva daha, they will definitely give rise to these pairs of opposites. Without the grass body, no sita usha sukha dukkha anubhava, no experience is possible. Understand? But the mind has to come in contact with the external world through the senses. In deep sleep state, there is no bahya sparsha. Bahya sparsha, bahyanam sparshanam, sparshaha na bhavati. The external objects are not contacted in deep sleep state. Therefore, there is no sukham, there is no dukkham, there is no, understand now, shitam, ushnam, no experience. But when there is bahya sparsha, understand? When the external objects are contacted in waking state, they give rise to these pairs of opposites. That is it. Which you cannot undo. You have no say over it. There'll be both. You can't say, I want only pain. I don't want pleasure at all. Let me not know what pleasure is all about. Let me have only pain. So I will not ask for pleasure at all. Why should I know what pleasure is, and why should I ask for pleasure? No, that's not possible. You have both pain and pleasure. No, I don't want pain at all. I want only pleasure. No, that's not possible. It's not possible. You have both pain and pleasure. Okay? No, I want only shetam. No. There'll be shita, there'll be ushna. There'll be jayaha, there'll be aparajayaha. There'll be manaha, there'll be apamanaha. All these pair opposites are inevitable. It's again another subtle fact about the mind coming in contact with the external objects during the waking state. For everybody, whoever it is, no human being can escape from this, because human janma itself is mishritam, punya papa mishritam janma. Nobody can say, I have only pleasures, no pain at all. Nobody can say that. I have only pain and no pleasure. Nobody can say that. The proportion may differ from person to person, but still, then every human mind is meant subject, you know, enjoy both pain and pleasure. This is another subtle fact about the experience of pains, the pairs of opposites. Why? How is it possible? How is it possible to enjoy both pain and pleasure? Any enjoyment is possible only if the mind comes in contact with the external world. Do we have any say over our mind coming in contact with the external world? No. This is what is understanding. The subtle facts. No. Not possible. So, agama connects this, but you be happy about one thing. You can avoid the pairs of opposites, but you can be happy about one thing if you know the nature of, okay, the pairs of opposites. What is the nature of pairs of opposites? What is the nature of these dvandvas which inevitably happen when the mind comes in contact with the external objects? You know, no experience is permanent. Thank God. Shashvatam. No, nothing is shashvatam. Nothing is permanent. It's the nature, it's a subtle fact. Again, no, but know the fact. Agama apayinaha. Agama apayino nityaha. Agama apayinaha anityaha. Agamapayino nityaha. They come and go. Sukham, the pain occurs, it stays, goes. Pleasure comes, stays, goes. Very fast, please. Honor is there, my God. You know, pumping you up to the sky, my God, then goes. Dishonor. It makes you feel very heavy and now it's a very painful thing. It's there but goes. There's a time. What do we say? There's like sometimes the best cure, we say. In time it happens, time it goes. All these bandhvaha, all these pairs of opposite, they happen because of the mind coming in contact with the external objects. But we have no say over it, but they are not permanent. Even if you want it to be permanent, want it to be forever, it will not stay forever. Why? Because that's the nature. Understand the nature. What is the nature of a pair of opposites? ஆகம அபாயினஹ அனித்யாஹ. அனித்யாஹ, தி ஆல் கம் அண்ட் கோ, தி டைம் பவுண்ட், நத்திங் இஸ் டைம்லெஸ். Everything is time bound. What about the experience? Sukha dukkha anubhava also, experience also is what? Time bound. The sense of being honored is time bound. The sense of being dishonored is time bound. Understand? Everything comes and goes. Agama apayinaha anityaha. This is the fact about the patches of opposites. This is how pairs of opposites happen. This is the nature of the mind, okay? And over which we have no say. What are you going to do with them? You're going to retaliate? No, I don't want that. What are you going to say? I'm going to, you try to understand intelligently. Once you understand, தான் திதிக்ஷஸ்வ, தாம் ஸ்திதிக்ஷஸ்வ, தான் த்வந்த்வான் ஆகம அபாயினஹ, ஓகே, அனித்யான் த்வந்த்வான் திதிக்ஷஸ்வ மேயு. வாட் இஸ் திதிக்ஷா? மேயு ட்ரை டு ப்ளீஸ் என்ட்யூர் தம். You can endure them if you understand the nature of pairs of opposites. You cannot endure them, you cannot bear them, if you don't understand the nature of those things, pairs of opposites. That's why understanding the nature of it is very important. It's for understanding subtle fact. Tanti tikshasva, he Bharata. You're supposed to be Bharata. Okay? You can't be grumbling about these simple things which come and go. Tanti tikshasva. See, Krishna says, everything is in understanding, thereby accepting it. We cannot accept anything blindly, foolishly. But we can accept anything if we have understanding of what it is. Acceptance makes you a mature person. You deal with situations in a mature way. You handle things. So, Tanti Tikshasva Bharata. Agama Payino Nityaha Tamsi Tikshasva Bharata. Then he says, okay, this is how, what happens. It is the nature of the pairs of opposites, how they come, how they stay, what is the nature of it. Understand them. Come and go. Then he has to say something about the sukshma shariram.
Yayenam veti hantaram yaschainam manyate hataha ubhautau na vijanito nayam hanti na hanyate.
Yaha yenam ஹந்தாரம் வேத்தி ஆர் ஹன்யமானம் வேத்தி. வேத்தி மீன்ஸ் நோஸ், ஜானாதி. ஒன் ஹூ நோஸ் திஸ், யூ நோ திஸ் சட்டில் கிராஸ் பாடி, யூ நோ சட்டில் பாடி. திஸ் டூ பர்சனாலிட்டிஸ், ஓகே, சட்டில் பர்சனாலிட்டி அண்ட் கிராஸ் பர்சனாலிட்டி. அண்ட் திஸ் ஒன் ஹூ மிஸ்டேக்ஸ் சட்டில் பாடி டு பி கில்ட் ஆர் த ஒன் ஹூஸ் இன்வால்வ் இன் கில்லிங், then he does not know, really speaking, subtle body is not involved in killing. Okay?
subtle body cannot be killed either. One who knows this, no, the indweller, the dehi, for the killed. Okay, one mistakes his dehi to be the one which is killed. He does not know. Yaha yenam hantaram veti. Hanta, no, rikaran shabdaha. Rikarantaha pullingaha hantru shabdaha. Hantru. You know, and hanta is the one who the destroyer, the one who slayer, one who the killer, one who kills, one who slays, one who destroys. Hanta. One puts an end. Yaha yenam hantaram veti. If you think, okay, the subtle personality as the one who is involved in killing, as a slayer. No. He does not know. Subtle body is not at all involved in killing anything. Subtle body cannot directly do any action. Understand now? The mind cannot do any action. Or any actions behind it, okay? But it doesn't do, but the mind by itself does not take the sword and go to kill something. If you think, I'm going to pluck that. See, I can't even take to kill. Okay, I'm going to pluck that flower. That I can't do it, clearly speaking. I don't have the guts to do that. Not out of fear, but out of sensitivity, I'm saying. I'm going to pluck it. The thought comes. The thought itself does not do any action. Understand? So, similarly, Hanta, the destroyer, the slayer. So the subtle body is never a slayer. Never the one who is active. The one who is involved in actions is not the doer. Subtle body is never the doer. Understand? You know it very well. Subtle body is not the doer. The doer is physical body. Understand now? Na hanta. Hanta is a he used the word slayer, but you have to understand. The subtle body does not do any action. Does not have the, is not the agent. Does not have the, understand now? The doership is, there's no, it's not the doer of any action. Does not perform any action. So, na karta. You can say, yaha yenam kartaram veti. You can say that. But here, because the battlefield, Raja was confused about people getting killed and all those things, so he uses that one verb, hanta. Yaha yenam hantaram veti, one who knows this to be a hanta, this destroyer. Yenam veti hantaram, yaha cha enam, yas chainam hanyate, yas chainam manyate hatam. One who considers the subtle body to be destroyed as the slain, as object of action also, he does not know. Please, that means if you think that way, you do not know, Arjuna, you do not know the fact about the subtle body. The one who thinks the subtle mistakes subtle body for the doer, okay, or object of the action, he really does not know. Subtle body does not do anything, nor does it get affected by any action. Is not the doer, not the slayer, nor is it slain. Never can it be slain. Yaha hantaram veti enam dehinam. Yaha hantaram veti. One who knows this dehi to be the slayer, he does not know. One who thinks the dehi to be the slain, he does not know. So dehi is never, I mean when I say dehi, I'm talking about the subtle body. The dehi is never an agent. Dehi is never a doer. Dehi never does it become the object of action, in a sense, affected by an action. Understand? Never. Why? You know that. Please think and see. In what way subtle body is involved in action directly? You want to interact, you want to come in contact with the external world, it is dependent on this glass body. Even just to come in contact with sparsha, I mean externally, to know what is, it needs the glass body. How can it be involved in action directly? Okay, we said dehi, this dehi, the subtle body, is never at the doer. Never does it become an object of action. Never does it become affected by any action. Yaha hantaram veti, yaha khatam veti, ubhau tauna vijanitaha. Both of them, ubhau is doer, you know, ubhau. Both of them do not know. Na vijanitaha. Na ayam hanti, na ayam hanyate. It does not kill, nor does it get killed. It does not destroy, nor does it get destroyed. It does not do any action, may take it for sure, okay? It does not involve in any physical activity, okay? Physically, no action is done. Dehi. Dehi does not do any action, nor does it become an object of action or a victim of an action. Okay? Na hanti, na hanyate. The hanana kriya is taken there. It should be applied for any action in general. It should be understood for any karma in general, any action in general. Because it happens to be the battlefield. Krishna talks about the hananam. Hanti, hanyate, etc., etc. But really speaking, you just take for example the action in general, performing an action. Does the dehi perform an action? Does the dehi eat? Does the dehi walk? Does the dehi sleep? Does the dehi wake up? Does the dehi understand now what I say? Perform action and say, runs. Okay? No. Prachiti thinks, yeah, mind wakes up, mind falls asleep. We are talking about 3 sets of experience. Why do you say dehi? You're looking at me like that.
Through the body, it does action.
Pardon?
Doesn't it do action through the body?
Dehi by itself does not do any action. Even with the body, the dehi does not do the action. Deha does the action, being impelled by the dehi, being blessed by the dehi. I want to be sort of blessed by the dehi. You know, the blessed dehas are these, okay? The body which are taken for funeral are the not blessed by dehi. The way they have it taken, they can't walk by themselves, okay? Na hanti na hanyate. What do you think? Of these two, which are you now, Arjuna? Who are you now? Understand? So without the dehi, deha cannot do anything by itself. But dehi by itself does not do anything. How is it? This is satyam. This is the truth. This is the subtle facts. Before going, taking you to what is Chaitanyam, Brahma, etc., etc., Krishna wants us to think, because these are the things which worry us. We're so attached to this. Understand? And I had remembered my friend, how many times, what are the medicines she didn't take, and what are the... 4 or 5 times, remind her of the medicine she should take. It's still so much, so because without this, there's no interaction. So this deha is very beautiful, this body is such wonderful. Whether she can't come together and sit and talk to each other like this. But still had to know the truth, fact about the body, fact about the dehi, fact about the deha. Dehi. So this verse talks about the dehi. Yayenam vetti hantaram yaschenam manyate hatam ubhau tau na vijanito vijanitaha. Tau ubhau, those two people, both those people who ke na vijanitaha na ayam hanti, ayam dehi na hanti, ayam dehi na hanyate. Ayam is not English ayam, okay? I mean, eshaha. Eshaha dehi na hanti na hanyate. Nayam hanti na hanyate. Then he goes one step further. This verse, I don't know whether this verse comes elsewhere, but still I want to talk to you in between, because I want to, before I go to the 16th verse of the second chapter, I want to jump to the, I'll talk about the dehi. So he talks again, the 25th and the... Why? Well, I'll come back. I'll go in order. Okay, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 19. I'm going to go. But still in between, I want to take some verse from behind to fit in, to make it very clear. Because always people are confused about this day, this locus. The two verses repeat the same thing. Okay, one in active voice, one in passive voice. He says then, so this dehi is not subject to destroyed, it is indestructible. Ah, be happy about it. So your subtle personality, your subtle personality is not subject to death. Is it all good? That is something called samskara is possible. That's where we can pick up the thread where we live. The continuity of life can be understood. Only the subtle body is understood very well. The cycle of births and deaths can be understood. The life being beginningless, endless cycle can be understood. Life being, okay, not a straight line can be understood. Life is beginning, end, a cycle of cycle can be understood. Only the subtle body becomes very clear. So, I think 25th and 25th some verses, he talks about the same. What is that? So, we cannot, don't need to worry about the sukshma deha, which is a dehi. The sukshma deha is said to be dehi because it indwells this thula deha. And it is not subject to, no, it's not such any destruction. It's a happy thing. It's a good thing. Isn't it? Death of this cannot be prevented. Death of this physical body is inevitable and avoidable. But what is that? Even if you want to kill, it is not possible to kill what? Dehi, the sukshma deha. So he says, Nainam chindanti shastrani, Nainam dahati pavakaha. Nachainam kledayantyapo nasoshayati marutaha. How many elements are there? Only 5 elements, okay? Leave this poor space, cannot do anything because everything it accommodates. The space can never do any harm to anything because it is all accommodative. What harm can it do, the space? Everything is sitting in space. Everything is in space. So the verse talks about the other 4 elements. Okay? None of the other 4 elements can harm, cause any destruction to this dehi. Though the deha is elemental,
Even the Dehi is also what elemental, basically speaking. But still, the elements themselves cannot destroy the Dehi. The elements cannot destroy the Dehi means, and nothing in the world can destroy the Dehi. That is emphatically expressed here. Shastrani yenam na chindanti. Shastram, shastre, shastrani, no? Shastrani, how many varieties of weapons you have? The latest modern missiles. Okay. The Mahabharata time, they must have had very, very, very ordinary weapons like arrows and bows and whatnot. No? But latest missiles. What we have. That's why shastrani includes of inclusive is inclusive. The word shastrani is inclusive. All the modern weapons and missiles which can come in future, which are at present used, which are not there before. Shastrani, the plural word makes it very clear. Shastrani. Any shastram should be of definitely of iron or ore or metal. Okay? That's why metal means it stands for the it is earthen, earth element. Understand? Shastrani yenam 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 dehinam na chindanti. Okay? They cannot cleave or cut or pierce or poke or really destroy this dehi. It's a simple kindergarten fact, okay? But Krishna has, because it's second chapter, we think it is. Shastrani yenam dehinam na chindanti. Nainam shastrani nainam chindanti shastrani nainam dahati pavakaha na yenam dehinam pavakaha dahati. Na enam, the vriddhi sandhi comes, okay? Na enam, nainam it comes. Na enam pavakaha dahati. Pavakaha, no, the fire. The fire element. The fire, I tell you, if you take the Veda, the word fire has many names. Jata Vedaha, Nokahavir Bhag, so many names are there. But here, Arjuna, Krishna uses the word Pavaka, Vyasa, use the word Pavakaha, Punati Sarvamiti Pavakaha. That which purifies everything is Pavakaha. Fire is known as Pavaka because it purifies. How? It perishes, it destroys everything by, you know, by burning. It burns everything and cleanses. Sterilizes, you see. That's what's called pavakaha. Burns. Nainam dahati pavakaha. So pavaka, fire cannot, fire does not burn this Dehi, yenam dehinam. No, fire does not burn. That's why only this gross body can be taken for cremation, not the Dehi. The Dehi is a Dehi will run away. Okay? Dehi is not really. Nainam dahati pavakaha. Nacha yenam apaha kledayanti. Kledanam means wetting, causing dampness, okay, or drowning. It's called a kledanam. Kledayanti. Apaha. The word is always used in plural word, okay. Up, apaha. Apaha means waters. We don't say waters, okay, in English language, but still here I have to say apaha, the water. Na enam kledayanti. Water does not really wet or drown the Dehi. When somebody drowns in the ocean, okay, or water, a river, the drowning is possible because of the Dehi, but the Dehi by itself does not drown. The sand, the grass body drowns and drowns and sinks and then slowly it goes and drown, it can drown. If you don't know, the person does not know swimming. As a drown, okay? Start sinking and then slowly drown. But what happens to Dehi? Dehi will escape, okay?
and that has to, deha has to be brought out. So, nainam dahati na acha apaha kledayanti. Water do not drown. The water does not drown the dehi. Na chainam kledayantyapaha na soshayati marutaha. Marutaha, the wind. Usually if it blows, the air can dry up things. Dry things really. But the air cannot dry up the, does not dry the dehi. That means, what does it mean? The dehi, the sukshma dehaha, is not affected, okay, or harmed by any of the elements and also the elementals, because the grass can never do any harm to the subtle. This is truth. This is the nature of the subtle product. Anything subtle cannot be destroyed or harmed or affected by a gross thing. That's the law there. Then the same word, same meaning is given in passive voice. Achedyoyam adahyoyam akledyo sosya evacha. What is this dehi then? Achedyaha. Chedyaha, that which can be cut, which can be pierced and cleaved and poked, is achedyaha. Na chedyaha, achedyaha. Dehi is not chedyaha. It cannot be cleaved, it cannot be cut, it cannot be destroyed. Achedyaha. Achedyoyam adahyoyam. Ayam adahyaha. This dehi is not deh dahyaha. Adahyaha. Dahati burns. Dahyaha can be burnt. Adahyaha cannot be burnt. It cannot be burnt. Same meaning is given in why? Just emphasize. Whenever what is said once is repeated, it is for emphasizing the fact. Always Shastan does it. You say once, sometimes sentences are repeated, the same will be repeated. Repetition is to assert, okay? To present, to state emphatically, it repeats. But here instead of saying, repeating the same verse, the verse is given in passive voice. Achedyaha, adahyaha, akledyaha, asoshyaha. Who is adahyaha? Na dahyaha, na chedyaha, na no, kledyaha, na soshyaha. Na, not. It cannot be burnt, it cannot be drowned, it cannot be wetted. Listen now, it cannot be dried, it cannot be destroyed through cutting, etc. That means achedyaha, adahyaha, akledyaha, asoshyaha. Na, isn't this come, just come as nyang tatpusha? Na comes as other. Achedyaha, na chedyaha, achedyaha. Na dahyaha, adahyaha. Na kledyaha, akledyaha. Na soshyaha, asoshyaha. What is that? I am. Which I am? This, eshaha, dehi. I am dehi. Achedyaha. Achedyoyam adahyoyam akledyo sosya evacha. Do you want break? Tea break? If you can, the dehi can be destroyed, and whoever commits suicide or homicide, okay? And we can think, okay, I don't want to live this life anymore, suffering for me. We can kill ourselves, we can die, okay, life comes to an end. Moksha there. You die, there's moksha. Why we say the physical death is not moksha? Because the dehi survives death.
That's okay.
That is why we say this moksha. What do you about moksha? It's very easy. 10 tablets. Moksha then. It is easy moksha. Is not easy. It easy as what? No. Death is not moksha. Understand? If there is sukshma dehi, sariram dehaha, the dehi is also, you know, can be killed like the physical body, along with the physical body, then moksha, immediate moksha you have. Immediate moksha.
Yeah. True.
Yeah.
So are you saying that every aspect of the subtle body, so called the dehi, is totally indestructible? In other words, all memories from all previous janmas are never lost.
They can be resolved for good. Resolving the sukshma shariram is moksha. You know that?
No.
Now you do, Rodney.
Resolution alone is possible. Killing is not possible.
When you use the word resolve, do you mean the same as dissolve? When you put sugar
no.
in, it dissolves, no?
Resolve. The wave does not dissolve in water, okay? Dissolving means it will undergo change. Like when you put a sugar into the water, it disappears, undergoes a change, okay?
Yeah.
That is dissolution. Dissolving.
Yeah.
Resolving is not dissolving. It's in your buddhi. Resolution is in terms of understanding.
Understanding, yeah.
Sarvam jnane paris. I like that word. Sarvam jnane parisamapyate. I like that sentence very much.
It's like when you resolve a mathematical problem.
Yeah.
When it's resolved, there is no problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't go back to the problem because there is no problem.
There is no problem.
Yeah.
There is no problem.
So does the personality in full survive?
Well, it's about dehi today. Because it became very clear. Many a time a mistake.
Yeah.
No, does the personality in full survive?
No, thank you, darling. I'm trying to dissolve my stomach.
Personality in full survive.
Resolution. See, resolving the sukshma sharira, which is not actually resolving the sukshma sharira. Means resolving the mind. When the mind is resolved, the whole all other aspects of the sukshma shariram will be resolved.
Maybe, but does
that when ahankara is resolved
through knowledge?
That's where we say jnanam.
But prior to that resolution, does every aspect of the subtle body survive death?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Indestructible. What is it?
But you said that the...
Yeah, I would actually. Very little more oxygen.
So even the personality survives.
Yeah, yeah.
Even the subtle nuances of the personality survive.
I'm trying
to
go for
I'm just as horrible in death as I am now. Is that right?
No.
I mean, seriously. If every little weakness, strength survives death.
I'm saying all these powers.
Powers.
Just after death.
I have one here.
You have some more now.
You go here.
Oh, she's here.
Oh, okay.
One with that. Peter, would you like this name?
Yes, please.
That's fine.
This is me. Yes, this is what you want. You said it would be magnified. Yeah. I asked you an action. You said that the he does not act on its own, which is agreed. I mean, I accept it. Because it needs the body, they have it. Thank you. To act. But the two together.
Dehi by itself does not do any action. Dehi by itself does not become a victim of an object of an action. But the physical body, the Deha alone acts. But Deha by itself cannot act without being blessed by the Dehi.
Yeah. Because when we normally speak in terms of the mind deciding, making a decision.
Yeah, I'm just saying. See, the sukshma has to bless the deha. Even it's called as activator, you see. We just simply activate it, really speaking, without the desire. It's only the action is impelled. Impelled by sukshma, in fact, the mind actually. Mind only impels. But by itself, does not do. See, this is all understanding the nature of these things. This is all understanding subtle facts. Thank you very much. Very nice. This understanding, that's what I'm saying. Before we said we'll talk about other things. See, what is the nature of the subtle body? What is it? You understand some facts, subtle facts about subtle facts about subtle body.
We need some facts.
But this is normal interpretation of Atman chapter 2, the subtle body. It is talking about Atman at this point, in the Gita. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So where do you place your eye? Whether on the subtle body or then the grass body? It's like she's trying to help you. The body is trying to help you to be objective. Slowly, it helps you to have objectivity. Is how this sort of analysis will help you to develop objectivity. Slowly, it's not done anything. Nothing should be done in a hurry, no. Even bread needs 2 hours, doesn't it? You get baked. He has brought my bread, that's what I'm saying.
Have you spoken also about the damage that can be done to the different parts of the antahkarana? I mean, the mind, for instance, when people is not able to use the powers of the mind because there's been a damage. Or so it seems when someone is mad or, you know.
Generally, whatever you say is damage of cause on the part of the mind, it's again the mind. Suppose I confuse you by saying something wrong. The confusion is part of the mind. I can undo your mind. Okay? Confusion is part of the mind. That isn't it. Damaging the mind.
It's an ill use of the mind.
Yeah.
When you have someone that is, you know, has no control over the, you know, the powers of thinking, or this sort of thing is just an ill use. It's not that it is damage. Or how would you say that?
No, I can say, suppose I do something wrong, okay? I teach something wrong. I make you believe. I make you accept. You have wrong teaching. Okay, this is done, but still I'm not undoing the mind. The wrong thinking starts from here to this, that your mind. I'm not destroying the mind as such.
But then the mind, if the mind is simply a flow of thoughts, if it's simply one thought after another, which manifests as this river which we call mind, then what is it that is being disturbed or not. The capacity to have those thoughts in this form we call citta, in this form we call buddhi, and so on. The capacity is clear, and that capacity obviously survives death. But does the content, likewise, if it doesn't get affected by a wrong understanding, if it doesn't, if the memory is so transient that it doesn't, is not significant, what does it matter if she gets a wrong understanding? Because the wrong understanding is only for the 70 years that she lives in this life. What about later? Is the wrong understanding carried from one life to another? Or is simply the impression?
The mind is carried. The mind is carried life after life after life after
in
life.
In its entirety.
Yeah, but there'll be a time the mind need not be carried when the mind is resolved. Okay? That mind has to be resolved. Resolving the mind is resolved, the mind is available to be carried.
Mm.
Understand? It can't be carried anymore. That is what is said to be Videha Mukti. That is what is moksha. See, why need to know about this now? If really speaking, okay, this Mukti, we talk about the Mukti, Jivan Mukti. Sadhya Mukti, immediate moksha you can discover, Asram says, while living. And after, suppose you live as a Jivan Mukta, or even at least by time of death you attain moksha. Once you have attained moksha here, again no birth is possible. While living, if you are free, okay? And you will, that there'll be, just you'll be, just leave a parabdha. See, when you leave a parabdha with a doership and jarship, you really don't accumulate any punya papa.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no agami, because the mind will be resolved. When the sukshma leaves the physical body, it resolves. Means already it is resolved. Many things are resolved. So it leaves, then the mind, along with the other 15 aspects, will be resolved for good. The sukshma is not there, so assumption of another body is not possible. That is what is freedom from being born again. Oh, I want to be born again. I don't like that very idea of not being born again. Don't need to worry, we'll be born again and again and again and again. Even if you don't want to be born, you can't avoid it. You don't want to be born, oh, very much, come on, it's there, given to you. Freely given, all the physical bodies are given freely, whichever you can choose, according to punya papa you have. Crawling or walking or running or flying.
So, but Rodney, I mean, is your question, behind your question is, is there a feeling that it's not reasonable for the thoughts to carry on, the content of mind to carry on? Is that what you're thinking?
I'm just not so much that.
All your memories to carry on and on and on and on and on.
I can understand how.
I should be careful like you hereafter.
I can understand how an impression and memory. Because there's a residue from it. I have a residual impression of yesterday, whereas I have now a live thought about yesterday. And I can't expect the live thought to carry on. I can expect the impression to remain.
So if
that sense, I don't. And I would assume the power to form impressions is more enduring than the current impression that's whizzing through the mind, or the current thought life that's whizzing through the mind. So I can see that's right. So are you saying that similarly, therefore, that it is the content of citta, as memory, that survives and not the present, thank you, not the present chatter? Or are you actually saying, literally, the live content? The very thought of the moment of death survives as a thought.
Yeah.
I know there is this famous thing, the last thing you think of determines the next birth. But that aside...
We're working on that one.
There's a big difference, you see, between the current state of the waves survives as distinct from the power of the wave, the power of the water to form waves. That's a big difference.
What I'm saying, when the person wave goes, but still the water that which can come as new wave, that is of mind. I'm saying mind will continue to survive. Mind will continue to survive in respect of what the contents are, what is contained as thoughts, okay? What the thoughts which are contained, which constitute the mind, may be different, but the mind as such will continue to exist.
Recognizably, my mind, as distinct from Peter's mind.
Or yes, mind. All the minds, like all the waves.
But with characteristics.
Yeah. Will survive, definitely. As the mind, as long as mind survives, the indriyani, jnana indriyani, karma indriyani, pranaha, will continue to survive. And they never die. But dying means, it's not like physical body dying. Because physical body being grass, we see the change taking place. But subtle, so it is to be resolved. In terms of understanding. That is why we had to talk about the moksha now. We had to talk about it. See, why Krishna brings in here? Hey Arjuna, what are you worrying about now? This is the fact, truth about the gross body. This is the truth of the subtle body. Are you worried about the deathlessness of the subtle body? Are you worried about the physical body being a mortal, subject to mortality? What are you worrying about? These are the facts about these two. These two together, so without one, other cannot, one cannot act with the other. One by itself cannot interact with the external world without the other. What are you worrying about? Of these two, what is I? Where do you want to place I? Where do you want to place mine? It's just making a person think. Now think and then see beyond. That's all. Then he comes next, as the 16th verse comes. I'm jumping back from this. I just quoted these verses just to say how the subtle facts are presented in Bhagavad Gita. He just said, this is very beautifully it is said here. But I'm not using the word Atma at all here, just to make it very clear. Okay? There are two personalities, gross personality, subtle personality. I'm not talking about the person at all. Of these two, there is no such thing called absolute destruction. But there's something called relative destruction, which is a change on the part of the physical body. And there is the Dehi surveys death. And what are you worrying about now? You are worried about the death of the physical body, over which we have no say. Are you worried about the nature of this subtle body, over which we have no say? The empty called experience of sukha dvandvas, which is inevitable. We cannot stop the physical mind coming in contact with the external world. We have no say over the experiences which you have as a result of the mind coming in contact with the bahya sparshas. Just we are made to understand the facts. I call them subtle realities or subtle facts, truths.
So it's not a matter of faith, it's just accepting the facts. It's not faith, is it? You don't have to have faith in what you're saying, you just have to accept the fact.
When you say fact, it is matter for understanding. You don't need to have faith in what I say.
No.
Because of some respect you have for me. Because you like me. No, it's a fact. Just because you like me so much, I come and say 2 + 2 = 5. You will accept it. You will give me chocolate and phone somebody to come and take me, okay? So that I won't cause any problem here. You would accept it simply because you like me. It's not having faith in what I say. No. I don't make you believe. If I try to make you believe, then I'm the first fool. Okay, I have to show how it is a fact.
So the Bhagavad Gita is like science of the human mind.
Yes, it is called science.
Science is not Bhagavad Gita, but Bhagavad Gita is a science.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What is science? How do you define the word science? What is science?
Well, science are facts for our understanding.
Knowledge of what is science. So Bhagavad Gita teaches us what is, but what is not taught within the realm of science, what cannot be accepted within the realm of science, but still Bhagavad Gita what teaches is what is. We come to know now what is, isn't it?
Yeah, but in
so it's a science.
In science you have proofs. In science don't you have proof?
Yeah, what is now analyzed, is it improved?
Is that what we're supposed to be doing? Proving it?
Yeah.
In our mind?
Yeah, the word proving means you are made to see, as well as say subtle facts, you can grasp facts. Yes, okay, science, whatever science talks about is a gross facts. Now even physics, okay, physics is different, okay, you go for more and more subtle facts, beautiful, it's wonderful. I love physics, really. Unfortunately, I haven't studied physics. Amazing. No, the physics is Bhagavan's beautiful side of Bhagavan, I say, I always say that. As other side of Bhagavan is not beautiful or what? Everything is beautiful. But still I'm saying, isn't it? More subtle facts. Suppose you know, in biology you know, grass facts. Because you can cut and see, dissect and see, understand. But in physics what are things said? Just you had reason and it's available for reasoning. Accept, like that. Here, you are made to see how the body is. There's a different way of, you know, making you see the facts, much subtler facts. Because the sukshma realm itself is something. Now you know, sukshma is there. You cannot say, no, you're talking about something about sukshma which we can't accept. You can't say that. You have seeing power. You have hearing power. Because which you know that you can see, you can hear, etc. So don't accept it. Which science cannot do that. So Bhagavad Gita is science, definitely. It's more than science because it's not about the grass facts, it's not the very, very much subtler facts. And this is this thing, okay, what is destroyed? What is, you know, brought, what object to change is only the grass, not the subtle. To make it very clear, it says no elemental thing can really harm the subtle body, cause any destruction to the subtle body. It is said there. Why twice? न नैनम चिन्ति शस्त्राणि नैनम दहति पावकः न चेदम क्लेदयन्त्यापः न शोषयति मार्तः अच्छेद्यः अयम् अदाह्यः अयम् अक्लेद्यः अयम् असोष्यः इट रिपीट्स इट देन हू इज दिस व्हाट इज दिस नित्य सर्वगत स्थाणुः अचलोयम् सनातनः नित्यः सर्वगतः अचलः स्थाणुः अयम् सनातनः There's no beginning, there's no end. Sarvagataha is all pervasive. Nityaha sarvagataha, achalaha, unmoving. Eyeballs move, the power of seeing. Okay, we think we have nityaha sarvagataha, achalaha, sthanuhu, immovable, unmoving. Achalaha sthanuhu, I am sanatanaha, sadatanaha. Is another word for nityaha, eternal. And the tana added to anything, it deals with the time of that time. Adya means today. Adyatana today's. Adyatana program, today's program. Hyaha yesterday, hyastana, yesterday's. Shwaha tomorrow, shwastana tomorrow's. Okay, tana added, the tomorrow's, today's, yesterday's, like sada tana, that which is always. Sada means always, that has become a sanatana, eternal. No beginning, no end, no change, immobile. I can't move my mind from here to other place. Immobile, unmoving again. Unmoving means not like okay, thoughts come and go, you can say. Come and go for us, okay? Subtle way. But is it moving or not? Let's move from one place to other place. Understand? But we talk about the departure of the soul, subtle body. So what it is then? What it is then? Then Krishna in the 16th verse he starts telling you know, this sukshma is nothing but that. The manifestation of that truth. What is the truth? That is satyam. That is satyam. It's like saying, what is this wave? The wave is the manifestation of water. Like subtle body, subtle. What is subtle? Manifest as subtle. Is that? That is satyam. So manifestation is mithya. Okay? But what is it which is manifest? Is satyam. Understand? So he says, you know, I have to know that. नासतो विद्यते भावः नाभावो विद्यते सतः उभयोरपि दृष्टोऽन्तः त्वनयोस्तत्त्वदर्शिभिः He says, no, forget about the grass for some time. Okay? Just understand the subtle as manifestation of the truth. उभयोः अन्तः दृष्टः द एंड द ट्रूथ ऑफ this birth has been seen, understood very clearly, without any doubt, by the Tattva Darshibihi, by the seers of the truth, by those who have seen the truth, those who have cognized the truth, recognized the truth. Tattvam darshita, tattvam darshitam yena, so tattva darshi, tattva darshi bihi, by those tattva darshi, darshinaha, by those tattva darshis, the truth has been understood. The fact about both has been understood. The fact of both means what? Satyam and mithya. The fact about the satyam, the fact about the mithya, has been very clearly understood. The truth about the satyam and mithya has been understood by tattvadarshis, by the knowers of the truth, by those who know the truth. So what is that satyam? What is mithya then? That which manifests, okay, this satyam, the manifestation is what mithya. So he says, what is satyam then? The satyam, sat, sat means truth. Satyam means truth. Satta means truth. Satta, satyam, sat. What is the truth? The reality. What is it which is the reality? Which is free, which is nityaha. Satyam means it should be nityaha. It should be eternal. Eternal means what? It has no time limitation. There's no time limitation means what? There's no beginning, it has no end, it shouldn't undergo any change. So that which has no beginning, which has no end, which hasn't undergo any change, okay, which exists always with any time limitation, is free from time limitation, is sat. I mean that which exists always, beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, without depending upon something else for its existence. Understand? Then it is the satyam. That means it should be self-existent. To be existent, to exist, it should not depend upon something else for its existence. So that which exists by itself, without depending upon something else for its existence, beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, always, timelessly, is satyam. There is no time when the satyam is not. Satyam is not. That is the truth. That is the reality. That's why satyam is the satya is not the cause. The cause is slipped upon us. The cause is sat. The cause of the universe is sat, satyam. When you say cause of the universe is satyam, the existence of the universe is satyam. Sat, you can say existence. For example, we can say with reference to this ocean and water, water is the satyam, the truth, the reality, the self of the ocean and the waves. And water does not depend upon the wave for its existence to be water. So this is the satyam. Without the water, the wave has no existence, independent existence. The ocean has no independent existence. Therefore, from the standpoint of the wave and the ocean, waves and the ocean, the water without which the waves and the ocean cannot exist at all is looked upon as what? Cause. Said to be the cause. This wave does not say, the water does not say, I am the cause of the wave and the ocean. Without me, doesn't claim. Doesn't say that. But we understand, from the standpoint of the waves and the ocean, we understand, without the water, the waves and the ocean cannot exist. Therefore, the cause of the waves and the ocean is water. The Satta. So existence of the water is the existence of the wave and the ocean. Isn't it? Therefore we say water is the very existence of the ocean and the waves. So we can say with reference to ocean and the waves, Satta is Jalam. Satta, Satyam, Sat. Of the ocean is Jalam. Okay, now what is this Mithya? Okay, what is Asat then? Asat or Tuccham? Two words, Tuccham and Asat. Asat means real. Real, which is the reality. It is no beginning, no end, etc. I told you. Asat means non-existence. Therefore, there is no such thing called non-existence, non-existent. Understand? There's no such thing called non-existent. There's no such thing. That's why we don't like the translation unreal. The world is unreal. How can you say the world is unreal? The world is non-existent or what? The very talking is false because it's existent. Isn't it? The world is not unreal. It's not asat. It's not tuccham. But it's not sat, satyam. Jagat is not satyam. Why? Because it has beginning. Anything we see in the jagat has beginning, it has end, undergoes changes, it depends upon something else for its existence. What is this then? It's not unreal because it's not non-existent thing, like a barren woman's son, or like a mirage water. Is that all like a mirage water? No. So you cannot call it, you cannot say it is satyam, you cannot say it is asat. It is neither sat nor asat. Really speaking, there is no such thing called asat. Then you have to find a term. What is this jagat all about then? The word is existent, sat is existence. The existent prapanchaha has beginning, has an end, undergoes changes. While existing, it was not in the past, it will not be in the future, it is present now. While existing, it is dependent upon something else for its existence. We cannot say, oh, there is no ocean at all, there are no waves. Can you say that? The waves are there, the ocean is very much there. That's why you hear this roaring noise. So you cannot say non-existent. But it's unreal. Because I see the satyam, water, the ocean is unreal. You can't say that. You can say water is satyam, that's fine. But you can't say ocean is unreal. Water is real. Ocean is unreal. You can't say ocean is unreal. Because you hear the roaring noise, don't you? The waves. And what about you? How are you going to call it then? The ocean is neither real nor unreal, means it is because it exists it exists depending upon something else for its existence. And it comes, it's there, it comes and goes, so it undergoes changes. Therefore, Shastram gives another word, mithya. Whole prapanchaha, the jagat, is what mithya. Jagan mithya, Brahma satyam, jagan mithya. Brahma satyam, jagan mithya. Jagat has anything and everything in the jagat has beginning, anything and everything in the jagat has end, it undergoes changes. While existing, it is dependent on satyam for its existence. They have independent existence. So that which exists in the present, which wouldn't exist in the past, would not exist in future. But while existing, which is dependent on satyam for its existence, something else for its existence, is what? Mithya. So the whole jagat can be reduced to what? Mithya. What is sukshma shariram? Mithya. What is thula shariram? Mithya. What is the whole jagat? Mithya. What is this knowledge? I am? Mithya. All your memories? Mithya. All your intellect? Mithya. Your mind? Mithya. Understand? We don't need to resolve the grass. Let us not make effort. Leave that. Let us come back to the subtle. Deal with that. Okay? Know the satyam. The problem is we mistake the mithya manifestation for the satyam that which manifests as the mithya. Therefore, Shastra says, know what is satyam. Then you see, you can understand mithya as mithya being mithya. That's all. Understanding mithya being mithya, not mistaking the mithya for satyam, is what? Understanding the facts, accepting the fact. Understand? Becoming free. This is how we can resolve the mithya, see the satyam, understand the mithya being the manifestation of satyam, understand mithya being mithya being dependent on satyam, understand mithya being non-separate from satyam. Understanding mithya being non-separate from satyam is resolving the mithya in satyam. Understand? We don't resolve anything in the world. We have to all, the whole life is lived to resolve our mind, which is mithya, manifestation, in satyam, the consciousness. It's typically like resolving the wave in the water, understanding the distancelessness of the water and the ocean, the wave. Understanding the water as the truth of the wave. Similarly, understanding consciousness as the truth of the wave of mind wave. Truth of the ocean of the mind. Okay? And understand the distancelessness. There's no distance between the water and the wave. There's no distance between the water and the ocean. Simply understand the distancelessness between the consciousness, the truth, and the mind wave, thought waves, and the mind is what? Resolving the mind. But it will take time. We will understand. This is what we need to ponder over, you know, dwell upon that fact, the truth. So, this is because you are already exposed to teaching. I am just teaching the word consciousness and all those things. Because of the Bhagavad Gita class. It's not the preliminary Sarvedanta Siddhanta Sara Sangraha. Then I have to teach everything by step by step. I try to give through Bhagavad Gita classes. Understand? So Krishna talks about, see, what are you worrying about here? Then we can have our own questions on why there is sukham, why there is dukkham, why there are dvandvas, why there should be dvandvas when the mind comes in contact with the external world. But then why, the answer follows.
When the time is run out.
Okay? Yeah, this is the thing. So asataha bhavaha na vidyate. The non-existence is not there. There is no such thing called non-existence. Okay? Sataha abhavaha na vidyate. For this, there is no non-existence of this sat. Understand? Why? Sat is the very existence, which lends existence to the existent jagat. Ocean is the existent, water is the existence, noun. Understand? Similarly, here, sataha abhavaha na vidyate, asataha bhavaha na vidyate. So the whole jagat is mithya. Krishna does not use the word mithya there in the verse. Understand? So, why? Because the whole mithya jagat is satyam brahma. We need not worry about what about the external world. Think of the sukshma deha. The problem lies there. Understand? The world does not cause really unhappiness. All the problems with the sukshma, especially the mind. So we know sataha bhavaha na vidyate. There is no time, sat doesn't exist. Asaha bhavaha na vidyate. Ubhayoho api antaha drishtaha. The truth of these two, what is sat and what is asat and what is mithya, has been very clearly understood by the tattvadarshis. Tattvadarshibhi antaha drishtaha. Oh, this is what is the truth. There is no truth beyond this truth. This is the truth. This is the end. Okay? Dead end. There's no nothing. There's no truth apart from this. This is satyam. And everything else is what? Not asat. Mithya. Why? Manifestation of the truth. Satyam. Ubhayoho api antaha drishtaha tattvadarshibhi. And you have to see the truth as well now. You have to become the tattvadarshi. We'll come back and see. Okay? Is it okay? Mm-hmm. And I want to use why the word Atma, consciousness, as the truth of the whole, reality of the whole, is indicated by the term Brahman. Brahma. Brahma. Brahman. The same consciousness, the same Brahman, the truth of the whole, with reference to everything, is said to be the self of everything. Is it indicated by the word Atma? Listen. The water is the Atma of every wave, all the waves. Understand? Like that. And why? Because it is all pervasive. The Brahman, the truth, is all pervasive. Therefore, it has a self. So it is Atma. Sarvam apnoti iti Atma. Apnoti. There is no place which doesn't go. The self, the truth, the reality, which pervades everything, it's available as the self. Of everything is Atma. two different words are used. So Satyam is Brahman, which is Atma. Satyam Brahma is available as the Atma, the Self. Both mean the same. Atma is consciousness, Brahman is consciousness. Satyam Brahma, truth of the world, is available for recognition as the Self, as Atma. We use two words. We'll see next class. Okay? I'm going to India, went back to India for a few weeks. Not too long. And I wish you will continue these classes when you come back with the proper Bhashyam explanations. Okay? I come back as a little different person. In the sense, a lot of distractions I had, and I really couldn't do my justice. So when I come back, I think I'll be absolutely with Bhashyam. Okay? And we'll see, definitely. So I conclude this session praying to Bhagavan, the Almighty, Sarvajna, Sarvavit, Sarvashaktiman, Bhagavan, the universal natural law and order, to bless us all with the clarity, the commitment and conviction to carry out this pursuit of knowledge. Bless us with the clarity of the truth. So I wish that we continue to have our classes. And I pronounce to all of you. And thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to be with Bhagavan. If you haven't given me the opportunity, and thanks to all of you, thanks to you especially, to have provided this conducive atmosphere to be here and all that.